Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Come, you masters of war. Here they build the big guns.
We leave you with War and Peace to think about heading into this holiday weekend. It's an election weekend for the people of Ukraine and not likely to be peaceful, with already 13 dead this week in pre-election violence in pro-Russian eastern Ukrainian cities. As the world waits for Russia's Vladimir Putin to make good on his pledge to withdraw troops from Ukraine's eastern border, Russia's military chief has criticized the buildup of NATO troops in Poland and the Baltic nations. At a news conference, Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov has blamed the entire crisis on what he termed Western megalomania. Vladimir Putin himself agreed with that assessment at a news conference today, said he only wanted peace in Ukraine, but he doubted that the upcoming elections would be, in his words, legitimate. The people of Ukraine going to vote, seeking peace but caught in a dramatic confrontation between faraway generals and megalomaniacs. Sounds like a Russian novel. Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, what might be on the reading stand of Vladimir Putin this weekend? Sun Tzu's Art of War, a book about chess? Andrew Kaufman, lecturer in the Department of Slavic Languages and Literatures at the University of Virginia, says Putin is a character right out of Russian literature. Kaufman suggests that Putin might not recognize himself in Dostoevsky or Tolstoy, but Kaufman does.
Well, he says there's two favorite writers. I'm not convinced he's read either one of them that deeply. Particularly recently. But as I think about, you know, the influences that both of these writers may have had on him, Dostoevsky was fundamentally a nationalist. He believed that Russia had a unique destiny to unite and lead the nations of the world, particularly the Slavic nations. And that is kind of a rhetoric that we hear in a lot of Putin's speeches, particularly lately. Tolstoy didn't believe in that at all. Tolstoy was completely a universalist, and one of the core messages of his art is the unique genius and the individuality of every human being and every culture. And I think Putin has gotten away from the Tolstoyan narrative, as has much of Russian politics in the past several years.
Well, Tolstoy certainly embraces the pageantry of old Russia in many of his books, but he certainly describes in unflinching terms the absolute fallibility of political leaders. It would be a cautionary tale for Putin to read War and Peace at this stage, yes?
Absolutely. In fact, as I think about all of the characters in War and Peace, the one that Putin most closely resembles is not the Russian commander-in-chief, Kutuzov, but rather the French aggressor, Napoleon. And Napoleon's invasion of Russia and his ultimate conquest of Moscow, which ultimately led to his destruction and the destruction of his army and then Napoleonic France, is one of the great cautionary tales about the dangers of hubris.
The interesting thing about the military characters, the Russian military characters in Tolstoy, these are the guys who are the real sort of not softies, but the ones who embrace, everyone, embrace all the races and diversities within Russia. Kutuzov is a real tolerant leader. Prince Andrei is someone who really is very humble about war and not arrogant about conquest.
Well, Prince Andrei is a very good example. In War and Peace, he is the one character that wants to be like Napoleon. He is a glory seeker, and in fact, he dreams that he is going to single-handedly lead Russians to victory on the battlefield at the Battle of Austerlitz. And one of the first things that happens to him is he gets whacked over the head by an enemy soldier's bayonet. He's landed on the ground. He's lying prostrate on the battlefield of Austerlitz, and he looks up and he sees the glorious sky. And he wonders, how is it I've never noticed that sky before? And the reason he's never noticed that sky before is because he was so caught up in his own self-aggrandizing plans. He was so caught up in his own hubris. And it wasn't until he realized that he's just a very small part of this universe that he was actually able to enjoy the beauty of the universe that he'd never noticed before.
And does Pierre figure at all into Vladimir Putin, the amazing character of Pierre in War and Peace?
I don't know if he figures into Putin. Pierre is the survivor. In some ways, Pierre beautifully embodies one of my favorite quotes from War and Peace. Tolstoy wrote that there is no greatness where there is no simplicity, goodness, and truth. And what he meant by that is there are so many forces in our lives, social forces, war, spiritual confusion, that are acting upon us. And yet we always have the choice about how we're going to live each moment. Life is what happens to us. Destiny is what we do with it. And Pierre is a great embodiment of someone who has been through just the savagery of war. He's been through a long, harrowing experience, and yet he's continually keeping that moral compass, keeping his moral dignity, and living with goodness and simplicity in each moment.
You know, we've talked for several minutes about Tolstoy without mentioning any of the extraordinary women characters, some of the most powerful women in literature. What lessons could of Vladimir Putin, who is about as male as it gets there in Russia, from the women in Tolstoy?
Well, some of the women characters in War and Peace are among my favorite characters. Natasha Rostova is a great example. Natasha is one of the heroes of the book. And there's a scene later on in the novel when she's lost somebody very dear to her, and she's wallowing in her own self-pity. She's at home still with her family. She's still, you know, in her late teens. And she thinks that nobody can understand her pain. No one can appreciate what she's going through. Everything is so humdrum. And then she and her family get the news that one of her brothers has just been killed in war. And in an instant, she is transformed into an adult because she sees her father crying, she sees her mother crying, and she realizes that they need her as much as she needs them. And one of the great lessons that she embodies in that moment is that we are all on this journey together. The universality of human experience is so beautifully illustrated by characters like Natasha, as well as Princess Maria and other characters in War and Peace.
Maybe the takeaway here is that it would be well of Americans to maybe take a look at Tolstoy and Dostoevsky as a way of understanding what motivates Putin, but also how this whole Ukraine crisis is going down among Russians who probably know these books by heart.
Oh, I absolutely think Russian literature in particular is a great source of understanding of many of the cultural roots and the psychological roots of what's going on today in Russia. The drama that's being played out in Russia right now is not just a geopolitical drama. In many ways, it's a drama of the Russian soul. Putin is grappling with a question that so many of the great 19th century Russian writers grappled with in their art, which is, what is the source of our national greatness? And, you know, one answer is the answer of hubris. The other answer is, I think, the Tolstoyan response of humility. And so much of what is happening today in Russia can be understood through the lens of the Russian soul, which is beautifully depicted in the classics of Russian literature.
Andrew Kaufman is author of Give War and Peace a Chance, Tolstoyan Wisdom for Troubled Times. He's a lecturer in the Department of Slavic Languages and Literature at the University of Virginia. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thank you, John.